So my favorite composer just the classical world and just everywhere is a guy named Beethoven. You guys have probably heard of him. Kind of famous. I actually was told that I composed. I used to write music for piano and stuff. And I was told a lot, you know, you write a lot like Beethoven. I was like, ah, that's really cool, man. I appreciate that. And the reason why is because when he wrote his composition, he was very deceptive. He would go somewhere and, you know, you'd think he's going this way. And then he'd go, boom, I'm going to go this way now. Okay. Well, that's kind of what I want to do with my preaching today a little bit, because I want you guys to really be involved. I don't want you guys to fall asleep. And what he would do, it was hilarious. He would like play this nice thing and be this, and then bubble would come up from their face, and then they'd fall asleep, and then he'd go, you know, and just wake everybody up. So I might do that. I might just scream at you guys for a second just to make sure you guys are awake. So I really don't want to be boring today, but I got to make sure you guys are energized too. So I need feedback from you guys. So here we go. Communication 101. I ask a question, you boom, that's awesome, okay. Or if we say something really cool and it's just like Spirit of God's awesome, what do we say? You guys know? Amen, there we go, all right, cool. So need some of that today. So how many of us here like sweets? Who likes sugar? Okay, awesome, yes, I love sugar. When I was a kid, I'd go midnight snacks. I'd wake up and I'd sneak to the kitchen. I'd get some fudge rounds or something, or Swiss cake rolls. Those are my favorite. Love those. My grandmother made a 7-layer chocolate cake. Thing was awesome. Loved it. Ate sweets all the time. If I had it my way, I would eat sweets first and then dinner later. But my parents, being all boring and stuff, they always told me, well, you can't have your sweets. You gotta have your greens and stuff first. Well, guess what? I went to college and I showed them. I lived on my own. Guess what I ate? Cookies and stuff, and it was good. And that's why I have my powdered keg right here. That was funny to me, whatever. just playing. But I wanted these sweets, but what the problem was with these sweets, these sugars, is they don't do anything good for our body. Well, they don't do much for our body, okay? They do help. If you guys have ever worked out and been in a workout program, I used to be in one. But what they would do is they would say, you know, once a week or so, you know, you want to trick your body and you want to have some sweets. So the sweets are good. The sweets are a good thing, but there's more importance. Now, what does that have to do with Christianity? I'm going to talk about today. And the scriptures on the bulletin are wrong. God was like, no. And I said, okay. So now we're here. We're in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 10. And what John has just explained in this letter, this is not John the Baptist, this is John the Apostle. This is a little teenager that hung out with the rest of the disciples. He was the disciple that Jesus loved. He wrote John's gospel. He wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and he also wrote Revelation. I think I got them all. I might have missed one. But anyway, at this point, what he is saying is, he's talking about the children of God. There's a few misunderstandings about the children of God, and we're going to clarify that. And we're going to talk about how to be a child of God. So let's go ahead in 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 10. He's talking about being children of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, talking about Cain and Abel back in the Old Testament in Genesis, not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. We're going to talk about that in just a second. Verse 13, do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Abide meaning remain or stuck to, adheres to. Verse 16, We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Really quick. The brethren is not every human being. We are to love everyone, yes, but there is a specific love that we have with our Christian brothers and sisters. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of truth and will assure our heart before him in whatever our heart condemns us. Excuse me. For God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Okay, so that was really repetitive. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but he talked about us. Okay, we're children of God. We're either abiding in God, in Christ, or we're abiding in death. We're children of God. We're either loving or we're hating. Why is this so different? Interesting question was asked to me. What is the opposite of love? What's your first inkling? Just pick one. Hate. Okay, cool. So hate was my answer too. I thought hate. And then what was interesting was he said, well, if you hate someone, you're actually showing that you care at some point, at some level, about that person. Because you hate the things that they're doing. What he told me was indifference was the opposite of hate. Just not caring at all. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting. This is that whole broad spectrum. From hating to indifference to love. The entirety. So first thing that it talked about is either being children of the devil or the children of Christ. Okay, so for children, well, not children of Christ, I apologize, children of God. So for children of God, not everyone is a child of God. This is a very common misconception. We think, oh yeah, we're all children of God, cool. And in reality, that's not true. We are all creations of God, but only the born-again believers through the adoption as sons. Only those are children of God. And you can see that if you read in Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, it'll talk about being a child of God. It'll talk about adoption and how we are in Christ. So the ones that are children of God are the ones who love. Now, wait a minute. Does that mean that the children of the devil don't love? Well, that's interesting. Okay, so if we're in Christ, we love, and those who aren't in Christ love. Well, people love, people get married, people love each other, so that they must be good, right? They must be. Everybody must be in Christ. Well, no, that's actually not true. John also said, "Love is an action. It's not a words that we say. Oh, I love you, honey. You know, if I just went to my wife and said, 'Hey, I love you,' all the time, and I didn't clean up the kitchen, or I didn't fold the laundry, or whatever, and I just sat in my recliner and played video games. Do you think she would believe me? No, of course not. I gotta do stuff. There's action to this love, and we're gonna talk about that action in just a minute. We're gonna figure out why it's called too many. Why my sermon's called Too Many Sweets. but anyway. He also brings up righteous. He says, okay, the children of God are righteous. Now, what's cool about this word in Greek is it's not just right, but legally right, and they are made right. We as Christians, as believers, are righteous, okay? Now, we know that in Romans chapter 3, he says, no one is righteous, not even one. And the reason why it says that is because we, of ourselves, without God, are not righteous. We are all condemned. So a lot of people, they look at salvation and they're like, okay, here we go. It's like a scale. All right, cool. So everybody's here. Everybody's in purgatory. We're going to be like, all right, God's going to say, okay, yeah, you did good enough. You can go to heaven. Not so much. You can go to hell. No, that's not how it happens. It's everyone is condemned and God saves some. This is an important concept to understand. It's very black and white. But here's what Jesus does. This is really cool. God gives us grace. This grace is called the propitiation. Everybody say propitiation. Awesome. Huge word, right? What does it mean? So there are two types of sacrifices in Scripture. I have said this before, but if you don't remember it yet, then you need to hear it again. Sweet. So the expiatory sacrifice is where it satisfies, so you give a sacrifice, it's to satisfy some sort of debt, okay? So it pays off debt, is what it does. It satisfies death and only debt. But it doesn't satisfy the wrath that God has toward us. When we look in the book of Hosea, Hosea is a prophet, and God tells him to marry this prostitute. Gomer. And he's supposed to pursue after this woman. Now, do you think that whenever they got married, do you think she left her prostituting ways, or do you think she kept going on? What do you guys think? She kept going. She kept being a prostitute. She kept doing this. And what did God tell him to do? Go pursue her again. I had this friend that was talking about this one day, and she thought she was Hosea, and Gomer was like somebody else, somebody that she's supposed to be pursuing or something. And in reality, God is Hosea, and we are Gomer. We have committed adultery against God. Now, in what ways do we do that? And John, just where we read, talked about being of the world. When we're of the world and we're doing the worldly things, and we're choosing something else over God, we commit adultery against him. We have all committed adultery against God. That's the sin. That's what we do. Because we've taken our focus and put it on what we want and our desires, and we make our idols the things that we love to do. We have so many distractions in this world today. And I'm going to show you guys how to get away from those distractions. I struggle with these, okay? So don't think I got it I got it made. But I do know where God wants us to be. All right, so let's move on. We're going to jump over to the next chapter, and we're only going to go through six verses, but this is how we abide in Christ, okay? This is how we remain in Christ. We adhere to him, okay? So we want us to be so close to God. But to do that, we have to be separate from the world. But wait a minute, we live here. How do we get out of here? What do we do? No, we're not a cult. No, we're not going to drink the Kool-Aid. That is not how you get out of here. There's another way. That was funny to me. That was a joke. It's okay. I always tell my friends, it's like, I tell jokes for me so I can laugh. But if nobody laughs at me with me, I get concerned. I was like, maybe I wasn't as funny as I thought I was. Okay. But anyway, so we abide in Christ. So let's look at 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Okay, now, first off, spirits. Okay, so it says test the spirits. Okay, so are we supposed to test the little spirits that fly over our heads or the ones that, you know, we got the demon on this side and the angel on this side? Are we supposed to test those spirits? Well, yeah. There's not really an angel and a demon on our side. I don't think so. But there are spirits. But it mentions the false prophet. We have the spirit of the person. So here's where we're talking about too many sweets, okay? Number one, us as believers cannot get our food from the weekly assembly, okay? These are the sweets. You come to Sunday school, and you come to church, and Lonnie preaches, or I preach, and we have a good old time, and it's good stuff, it's important stuff, it's good, you need it, it's a necessity. But there's a point where we actually have to feed ourselves. Okay, so let me ask you this. Okay, so let's say that we're eating steak today. Okay, this is our spiritual steak. All right, it's really good. All right, tastes awesome. All right, cool. It's been marinating for like 3 days. Yes, awesome. I'm having steak this weekend. Anybody else? Awesome. I'm having steak. Nobody's having steak. Really? There we go. Got a couple steaks there. There we go. All right, cool. All right. Ribs are fine too. Ribs are good. But anyway, so let's say we're having steak today, okay? Are you guys good the rest of the week for food? Are you guys good with just eating one day a week? Anybody?
No.
Okay, cool. All right, there we go. All right, so you guys don't want to eat one day a week. Good. I'm glad. You guys might be starving. We would all be very thin, and maybe I should take a week off. I don't know. But we need to test the spirits. Now, part of that is what you can't just come here and rely, oh, Wes has a degree. He's got a master's degree in theology. He must be perfect. He knows what he's talking about. Or, oh, hey, Lonnie's been ordained, and he's almost got a doctorate degree. You know, he knows everything. The reality is we're still human beings. And the reality is you need to test us. Lonnie gets up here every week, and he says not the same thing every sermon, but he says this one little phrase that I hear him all the time. He says, go back and look it up yourselves. He says, here's some scripture. Go read the context. You don't have to raise your hand on this one, but how many of us go home and check him? How many of us go home and check those scriptures? And how many of us just take the steak that he gave us, we eat it, we scarf it down, feel full, see you Wednesday, or see you Sunday for some of us in here, which is okay. Just chew on that for a minute. steak. That was not a joke, but it was funny. That was good. All right. So the false prophet. So you need to test us. Test your teachers. Test your friends. But how do we do this? Okay, so there's a way to do this, okay? The last thing you need to do is say, well, what'd you mean by that? That's probably wrong, or something like that, and just try to get an argument started. No, but we question respectfully. I remember one time I was struggling with something, and it was about God, and I was really struggling of what to believe about this certain thing. And I remember studying it, and I just felt my heart rip apart, and just, how could God do that? And this is what I told my mentor. I said, and this is how we respectfully question authority. I said, I disagree with God, but only because I don't understand. And I asked God every day for God to give me an understanding, and he finally did. He finally gave me a peace over it. It was really awesome. But guys, question authority. It's okay. Now, respectfully question authority. You should never go, well, what do you mean by that? You know, or be rude about it, but sit down. Ask questions. It's really cool. Every week in youth group, it's really awesome. They ask me questions all the time. They'll say, hey Wes, what about this? What did you mean by that? You know, and they question it, and it's really good. Casey's really good about it. Well, where's that in Scripture? You know, I'm just kidding. She doesn't do it like that. But she does do it. She challenges you all the time. It's wonderful. You guys need to do it too. Don't just hear it and fall on deaf ears and be like, oh yeah, that was good. That sounded right. There's a lot of preachers that sound good because they're feel-good pastors. And in reality, they're only teaching. They're teaching nothing. They're teaching birthday cake, and it's nothing. Guys, we have to study for ourselves. We have to study for ourselves. There's stuff all over the place. There's other pastors that you guys can listen to throughout the week. There's commentaries you can read. I just gave those kids the graduates. I gave them a MacArthur Study Bible. Does MacArthur have it all right? John MacArthur? No, but he's really good. He's got a lot of great stuff. Do I agree everything that he says? No, I don't, because I study Scriptures. I was taking this class this year. It's called hermeneutics. No, I cannot spell it still. But I passed, so that's good. Can't spell the name of the class. That's weird that I passed. But there was this one part where I was reading in this commentary, and it was about slavery in the Bible. And and I won't get into everything about slavery, but it's a lot different than the African slave trade. A big contextual difference. But I think it was Baker. I disagreed with this point, and I wrote it in my paper. And the professor emailed me back, and they said, "This shows great initiative." Because not only did I disagree with them, but I looked at other commentaries, and they said different things about it too. It's okay to disagree, but we need to disagree respectfully, and we need to question authority respectfully. Please, don't let this fall on deaf ears. Look it up. Read your Bible. John also said in this part, he said, those who confess Christ. Now, really quick. We all know Romans 10:9, for all of sin falls short of the glory of God. I'm sorry, that's Romans 3:23. My apologies. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Believe what? Confess that he's Lord? Hold on, let's break this down really quick. So let's Satan. Knowledgeable guy. He's not stupid. Okay, he's a smart guy. He goes and he knows who God is. So he knows that Jesus is Lord, right? Yes? Okay. Do you think he was there? Do you think he saw him die on the cross and raise again? So he knows. He saw it happen. He knows he's God. So what's the difference between us? So what are we confessing? We're confessing that he is our God. This is what I was talking about earlier, about abiding in Christ. So, when we are abiding in him and adhering to him, we are supposed to be getting to know him in a certain way. And we do this in several different ways that I'm going to talk about in just a second. But he is our Lord. And we're not committing adultery against him. Do we sometimes? Yes. We make these mistakes. We fail sometimes. But in reality, we're supposed to overcome sin. So we profess that he's God. We profess that he saves us, and he actually forgives us. Remember earlier I talked about expiatory sacrifice. So expiatory sacrifice satisfies debt. Okay? Cool, debt's been paid. Wonderful. God's still mad at us. But not anymore, because of the propitiation. The propitiation satisfies all debt and wrath that God had toward us. God is not mad at us anymore. When you sin, he's not mad at you. He may be disappointed, but he's not mad at you. This is what's so cool, because, excuse me, when we're saved, we are pardoned from sin. As if we had not done it. We are washed clean. Okay? There's another big word. It's called sanctification. Everybody say sanctification. All right. Do it again really loud. Sanctification. All right, cool, yeah. I like that face, Morgan. That was good. That was legit. Awesome. All right, so sanctification is where we are given the grace by God to subdue sin. Let me say that again. Sanctification is where we are given the grace to be able to subdue and overcome sin. This is huge. We need to be able to overcome sin. That's part of our sanctification. But how are we sanctified? How are we sanctified? We're going to answer that in just a second. Let's read verse 3 really quick. And I'm going to have to go on a little bit of a tangent just to clarify something. Verse 3. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming and now is already in the world. Okay, so everybody just went, Antichrist. Oh my goodness, Antichrist. Into the world. Okay, stop. It's okay. He just told us an Antichrist is anybody that is against Christ. Christ, literally, Antichrist. Anyone that is not a believer is an antichrist. Okay? Another one of John's books, Revelation, very often looked at as prophecy. And in reality, it's not. I'm not going to go all detailed into it, but this is really important. Revelation has very little to do with prophecy. It was more encouragement it was more encouragement, a letter of encouragement to seven churches. So just a little context behind Revelation is Nero was an emperor then, and he was hurting a lot of the Jews, and a lot of the Christians and whatnot. And basically what was going on was they're like, why isn't Christ back yet? Why are we did what we were supposed to do, why are we suffering? John explains, hey, God's going to win in the end. That's what it is. It's not necessarily prophecy. If you look at it, it talks about the dragon and it talks about the woman and all this stuff. Go look at the history of what was happening when he wrote that letter. Around 70, 90 AD, around 90 AD, I think. Check it out. Go look at the context and then you'll go, oh, a lot of this isn't really prophecy. Some of it is. There is some prophetic aspects to it, but mainly it is God wins, okay? All right, so moving on from the Antichrist. So we're supposed to test these spirits. We're supposed to test these false prophets. We're supposed to test our teachers, test our preachers, test our pastors. We don't just take their word for it because of their title. We don't just take our word for it because of our education. We can be flawed. Okay? And that's okay. We're not doing it on purpose, but we may make a mistake. We may say something that's not necessarily true. Go check it out. Go look it up. Come ask us. Test us. Because we need you to test us. You know, interesting. So in school, we test people all the time. We test kids, right? We do all this testing. Why do we do this testing? It's because we want to see if they're learning what we've been teaching them, okay? So that's what testing is for. But wait a minute. God's omnipotent and omniscient, so he knows everything, right? So why does God have to test us if he already knows? What's the point? The reality is, when God tests us, the test is for us. The test is for us so we can know where we are at. Not so God knows. There are tests to push us to further limits, to do better and to walk greater in our Christian walks. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, cool. I was worried. I didn't think it made sense. I was really worried. That was scary. So we must seek after God. Now, how do we do this? Let's read 4 through 6, and then we're going to wrap this up. La-di-da. Here we go. Yeah, interesting thing. You know what's cool? Like, the Bible used to be a scroll, and now it scrolls. What's up? I don't remember who told me about that, but it's totally whack. I thought it was awesome. Anyway, you guys, see, I'm technology, and I'm back in the old times, and you guys are flipping pages. It's silly. anyway, all right, verse 4. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world. And the world listens to them. We are from God. He knows who God listens to. I'm sorry. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So earlier it kind of mentioned this in chapter 3 when it talked about Cain and Abel. And it was saying that Cain killed Abel because he was righteous. He didn't like that. He didn't like that he was a good guy and he was a bad guy. He couldn't stand it. You ever notice that? Good guys don't want to beat up the bad guys. The bad guys want to beat up the good guys, and the good guys triumphant, because that's how we roll, right? Yeah? Sweet? Okay. So anyway, the distractions of the world. These are our too many sweets, okay? We can be in the world, but not of the world. So how do we separate ourselves? Because it's important to know some of the things. For example, Facebook. Facebook is a great outreach tool of this day and age. Jeff has been working really hard on our Facebook page, and it's so funny because now we get notifications like, Facebook page, this post went 100% better than all of your other posts. And I'm like, yeah, it's because we never posted anything because we're terrible at Facebook. But he's really awesome at that. He's gifted at it, and it's been fantastic. But it's a great tool to have. So the world is okay, but we have to be careful not to commit adultery with the world against God. So how do we do this? How do we seek after the things of God? How do we remain in Christ? I'm going to tell you. Here we go. Number one, reading your Bible every single day. Well, I don't have time. I work 40 hours a week. I worked 80 hours a week and I still did it. And I was going to school. Okay? We have time. You just have to make it. How often do you sit down and binge watch on Netflix? How often do you go and play golf? I can only think of things that I would do. I would play video games, or I wouldn't really play golf, but that's the only thing I could think of, so there you go. But anyway, find those things that you do that you could take 20 minutes and spend time with God. The next thing is prayer. You should be praying all the time. I'm trying to get back into the habit of this, but when I tell somebody I'm going to pray for them, I'm going to try to pray for them in the moment right there. That is such a good habit to be in, and I was in that habit, and then I got out of it, but I'm going to try to get back into it. You guys should do it too. We need to be praying. We need to be fasting. If you guys have never fasted before, it is such an awesome experience. It teaches us so much. And by the way, if you're worried about, my diet, and I've got low blood sugar, high blood sugar, whatever. I have had stories of people coming and telling me that they fasted and they didn't have one problem. One in particular told me that their sugars were the best they had been ever in being a diabetic. God provides. Fast. Don't eat food for a day. See what God tells you. It's pretty cool. But when you don't just not eat, you actually seek after God by reading his word and praying at the same time. The next thing is service. Guys, we have so much to do in this church. And number one, first of all, Friday, we're going to be out here. We're going to be doing this movie night. We're going to be doing outreach. And you may say, well, I'm not really good at doing media, or I can't lift anything up, or I can't do popcorn because it stinks, or whatever it is. You may have those excuses, and those are good excuses, but there's one more thing that we need on Friday night. We need our church family to be out there with these new people that are going to be coming and visiting, and we need you guys to invite them. We need you guys to reach out to them. Guys, we have new people coming to our church today. We have visitors today. Go and talk to them. Find them. Invite them to lunch if you can. Invite them to the movie night. Invite them to do different things. Guys, we need to serve our church, but service doesn't necessarily mean work. We need to get out of our pews, and we need to talk to the people that come here. Guys, how many of us come in the building, and we're like, okay, yeah, this is good. All right, I'm going to sit down in my pew in my place. Okay, put my $20 in the offering plate. Preach what he preached. Okay, cool. Sing my song. Pray. All right. Later. See you guys next week. Do you guys even know the people sitting next to you? Do you guys know the people that are sitting across the aisle from you? There's a few faces in here that I don't recognize. Hi. Hopefully I'll have a chance to come talk to you. We need to be active. The church is not meant for us to sit in the pews, stare at the screen, and just listen to the preacher, and then we're done with it. The point of the church is fellowship. The point of the church is coming together as Christians and encouraging one another. It was the coolest thing on Friday night. We had a youth graduation party, and it was a blast. There was so much unity between those kids. They had so much fun, and it was the coolest thing to watch. Because when I first got here, the youth group was divided in two. The people that weren't friends then are now friends now, and it is so cool to watch them. What about you guys? What are you doing? Get to know the person next to you. Get to know the new folks here. Get them involved. Guys, we're supposed to be here fellowshipping, working, doing stuff. Guys, we're doing the movie night. Another thing we're doing, we're renovating the youth building. Hey, right now we got me and Barry Drennan, and maybe Jake's going to come. And we're going to be tearing down some walls in there and making it a larger space. We need some help. If y'all just want to pray for us and that the building doesn't fall on us, that would be great. We'd appreciate that. But if you got the hands to work, come out. Help us out. We're going to be here at 9 o'clock in the morning. There's other things. There's weeds out here that need to be cleaned up. I mean, the church needs service. This church needs help, but not just physical help, but spiritual help, like the ones that we're going to do on Friday night. We're not supposed to just come here and sit down and be like, oh, that was a good movie, sweet, okay, cool. Hey, that guy looks new. Hope they come back later. Hey, would you like to sit with me? Whoa, weird, right? Let's talk to people. Let's get to know people. It's all about community. By the way, that was the fellowship with other believers. If you wanted to know, that was kind of where the service went, to fellowship with other believers. Next is evangelism. We're supposed to tell people about Jesus. We're supposed to talk to them, share the gospel with them. And then finally, discipleship. Discipleship, you know, Jesus says in the Great Commission in Matthew 18:19-20, he says, go, therefore, and baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, making disciples and teaching them all that I have commanded you. Can I have a volunteer? I need a volunteer. Anybody. All right, come on down. Sweet. All right. And I've met you before, and I keep forgetting your name. What was it again?
Jonay,
okay, I'm terrible with names. Please don't get offended if I forget your name. All right, Jonay, face the crowd. All right, cool, say hi.
Hi.
What's up? All right, cool. So here, let me show you what discipleship is not. Hey, how's it going?
Sup.
All right, cool, yeah. So the Bible, totally cool. You should read it. It would be awesome.
Sounds interesting.
All right, cool, later.
Okay,
that is an example of not, you can sit down. That is not an example of discipleship. Can I have another volunteer? Anybody else? Come on down. All right, so let me show you what discipleship is. Okay, so I know her. We've hung out, okay? Hi, Gracie. How's it going? I'm Wes. All right, cool. You already knew that. Sorry, I messed that up. Oh, well. So here we go. So we're going to do life together. Okay? Hey, let's go to church. Let's go out to lunch. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about the things of Christ. This is how we disciple someone and make disciples. And then we train them. Do you know how to read the Bible?
More or less.
More or less? Okay, cool. So she's been sort of getting some discipleship and doing Awanas. She just got the Timothy Award, and she knows how many scriptures? How many scriptures have you memorized? Over 600? That's awesome. That's fantastic. Okay, what do you do with it?
I try to remember it.
Exactly, you try to remember it. Okay, how do I apply it? What do I do with other people? So what I do is I sit down and I teach her how to do that. I said, hey, look, check this out. Check this scripture out, okay? So there's things in scripture. You can go sit down. Thank you. There's things in scripture. For example, I love memorizing scripture. It's great. Acts 2:15. It says, these men aren't drunk. It's 9 in the morning. Cool. Thanks. That was not helpful. All right. So it's good to have those scriptures, but what's the context around it? What's he even talking about? They were praising Jesus is what they were doing. They were praising Christ, and it was the day of Pentecost. Check it out. Read it. But we need to make disciples. We need to teach each other these things and teach each other the commandments which God has given us. So question this. When you're trying to figure out whether you should do something or not, ask this question. Does it glorify God? If no, then maybe we shouldn't do it. We can know worldly things, but don't be baptized in the world. Baptism means to immerse, to dunk under. Don't be baptized in the world, in the things of the world, but be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay, really quick. So it says, be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What that means is not necessarily, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, I dunked him. All right, sweet, cool. All right. No, that's the physical idea, but we are to immerse ourselves in the Father. We are to immerse ourselves in the Son and immerse ourselves in the Holy Spirit. Do you guys catching what you guys picking what I'm putting down? You guys getting what I'm saying? Okay? All right. We are to be immersed in Christ. I just told you how to do that. Start reading your Bible every day. Pray, fast, service, fellowship with other believers, evangelism, discipleship. If you're not doing it, then start. If you don't know how to do it, then find someone to help disciple you. Just a little disclaimer. When you disciple someone of the same gender as you. Because then we get to evangelizing, and that's bad. So, men disciple men, women disciple women. We must seek after God and remain in Him. Church family, please don't leave here today the same way you came in. Leave changed.